Hello, and welcome to Draw, Lose or Draw, a weekly podcast covering all things Partick Thistle. Join me this week to look back on Saturday's 4-0 win over Airdrie. Rhys Haldane, Rhys, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Matt. It feels like we've been waiting about 7 months now to just confirm the playoffs. It's just been there in the background all season, and it's good to finally get it done. And I guess with two games to spare, it gives us a chance to maybe experiment with the team, so I'm glad they finally got it over the line now.
Heather Holloway's here. Heather, are you well?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Matt. Good to be talking about a fabulous weekend and looking forward to talking about the quiz as well. And just, yeah, it feels good to be a Thistle fan. Probably famous last words.
And rounding off our panel is Jamie McDonald. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Matt. Emphatic victory at the weekend and a really good pub quiz last night. So, yeah, happy days.
Happy days, indeed. I'll stick with you, Jamie, for the quick chat on the starting 11. Scott Robinson came back in. He missed the previous week for Xander McKenzie. Possibly the most notable thing on the team sheet was Dan O'Reilly and Stuart Bannigan back on the bench. How happy were you with that team sheet when you saw it on Saturday?
It was good to see a bit of a bulkier bench, definitely, because we've been pretty light in numbers in recent weeks. Good to see Dan O'Reilly does, in fact, exist. I know he played 5 minutes up at Inverness, but it's good to see him getting some minutes. It's happy to see Scott Robinson come back in as well. I think he's been our best player, or arguably our best player anyway, one of them, over the last like, month or two. He's been fantastic for us, so it's good to see him come back in. And yeah, I was pleased with that lineup when I saw it.
We'll get straight into the game then. Heather, do you think that was the most complete performance of the season?
Yeah, well, I think second half, I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that the first half, we needed David Mitchell and the defence did well. Airdrie did have a bit about them in the first half and they probably had some of the better chances. But let's focus more on the second half because it was absolutely fantastic. Just a real good showcase of all the great things that make up Partick Thistle. And I love seeing the fact that we scored team goals. I love the fact that we were using the counter-attack to such great effect. It really felt like playoff football. And, you know, we haven't scored lots of goals against the team in quite a while. Obviously, we had the on the TGF takeover day, we had the Arbroath game. And then we had, I don't know, Capello a little bit earlier. But, yeah, that was probably the most enjoyable day I've had at Firhill for a very long time.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned Mitchell, Heather, because he did. I think that's important to acknowledge in the first half. You're right. I thought the first half was like a half of two halves. I thought we started the game pretty well for sort of 20, 25 minutes. And then the last 20 minutes or so in the half, I thought that was Airdrie's only spell where they were on top. And there was a 5 minute spell, I think, where you saw like the good and the bad of David Mitchell. I think, first of all, there was a high ball right under the bar that he didn't really deal with at all, and I think that's where I still have doubts over him. I don't think he's got sort of any real command over his box, but you're right, he made a really important save at 0-0 from a one-on-one, and I think one-on-ones is something he's improved a lot in his game. I remember earlier in his Thistle career, really early actually, there was a couple of goals where I thought he sort of made the wrong decisions, like rushing out, getting his angles wrong. I remember specifically one at Queen's Park and the 3-2 defeat last season. But I think that's an area of his game he's really improved. I think he made a couple of saves in the playoffs last season from one-on-ones. I think he'd won up at Cove as well last season. And yeah, that was a really good one. He didn't rush out. He didn't panic. He sort of gave the attacker a lot of time to think. And the save in the end wasn't spectacular, but I think it was his decision-making and his positioning that made it in the end quite a comfortable save for him. And yeah, it was a really important moment in the match. And Rhys, the second half then, how good was that? Who were the standouts? Why did it all click in the way it did?
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? It was just really good to watch. We've been saying for a while now on the podcast, you've been mentioning the the vibes train, just to get us back in that feel-good factor. And to be honest, last season was the exact same. We didn't really have that feel-good factor up until just about this exact time last season when we beat Queen's Park 4-0, and then obviously that gave us a confidence. It was so similar to that in terms of we just went out and looked like it was, well, it was obviously 4-0, but it looked like it was 4-0 going on 5-6. Absolutely battered them. The goals were scored, you know, Fitz's goal was stunning, man. Great pass from McEnroy, and you can say he's clean through, but he's still got, you know, 50 yards to run. He's inside his half when he begins the run, so brilliant pace and power to cut across his man and round the keeper and still keep the composure to finish it. Second goals, the two goals from Graham are brilliant. The deft wee chip over the keeper initially for his first, and then the second one was just a beautiful build-up for McEnroy, Nielsen again, and then obviously stunning finish as well. So they have a striker now on 20 league goals. It's at 24 for the season. I know we were talking about it in the chat the other night. It's just crazy for a Thistle striker to be hitting those numbers. And, you know, we've still got, potentially, if we go all the way, 8 games to go this season. And I wouldn't be writing them off hitting another a landmark, you know, if we go on a good run. So I was delighted. And then, obviously, at the end, again, always good for a youngster to get on the score sheet. Rico Diak with another nice goal, and looks a real prospect again. So was it a positive day all round? There was a lot of positives to take, already mentioned as well. You know, Dan O'Reilly coming back, the fact that Stuart Bannigan was back in the squad again, it just, things were looking a lot healthier. And obviously you put in a performance like that and everyone just starts believing again, because I've been saying all season, people keep going, oh, we won't do it this season, there's no point in getting to the playoffs because we'll just get beat. Everyone said the exact same thing last season until we got there and we went on that run. It's just about hitting form at the right time, and we're doing that right now with the form team in the league. 4 wins and 2 draws in our last 6, so you never know what happens. I wouldn't be writing us off just yet. We're doing it again at the perfect time, so fingers crossed we can just keep the momentum going.
You're absolutely right, Reece, certainly about the vibes train. We're 6 unbeaten now. We finish the league season unbeaten, we go into the playoffs 8 unbeaten. Obviously we've got 2 tricky games coming up that we need to stay unbeaten to do that, but it's looking good. And as you say, it was the perfect day, getting minutes in the legs of O'Reilly and Bannigan. We'll touch on them a bit later, I think, when we preview their game, was really important as well. On Brian Graham though, I think when we recorded that episode at the start of the season talking about our top 10 Thistle players of the 21st century, I think I said on it, it's a shame Brian Graham didn't sign a year or two earlier, or he would have hit 100 goals easily. And I doubted that he would hit 100 goals. I thought he'd join just a year or two too late. But he signed up for another 2 seasons, and barring serious injury, no touch wood, it looks like almost nailed on he is going to get to the 100 goals. It's just a matter of time. And if he does what he's done in every season so far and score more goals than he did in the previous season for Thistle, he will score his 100th goal next season. Now, obviously, that's a massive ask because he'll be another year older and he's had such a good season this year, but you really wouldn't put it past him. He's had such a good season. I think he'll be well in the mix when we come on to our end of season awards for Player of the Year. Jamie, who else stood out for you, and why do you think the performance was so good on Saturday?
I thought there was lots of standouts. I thought Luke McBeth was really good at the back again. I actually thought Aaron Muir had defended well at the back as well. But the man of the match for me was Harry Milne. Harry Milne was fantastic on Saturday. I think that's honestly one of the best, if not the best, performances he's had for the club. He was absolutely brilliant, I felt. And it's just great to see him back to his best. We'd spoken, I think, earlier in the season about, like, he didn't maybe look fully fit at the start of the season. Obviously, he could come back after a long layoff. But I thought he was absolutely, absolutely brilliant. And obviously, Fitzy, I thought, had a good game. I thought Stanway was good again. Obvious shouts like Graham. But McEnroy did well in the middle of the park. It generally wasn't a bad performance across the pitch, and it's such a satisfying performance. And I think part of the reason we started doing well was because in the second half, we just kind of rode the momentum. As the more, when we scored that second goal, I was starting to think, like, we could grab a couple more here, because it was just all us at that point. Airdrie really threatened. Yes, they did sit off us a bit, which probably helped invite us in and helped us play a bit better. But regardless, I still thought we were passing it well, we were moving it well. That third goal was a great bit of play, and we were just constantly cutting them open. Like, even that Bannigan pass for Diak's goal was great. It's just completely cut open the defence with one simple pass, and just, it was a very, very complete performance in the second half, and it was very satisfying to see. And it really did remind us, it's been mentioned already, but the 4-0 Queen's Park game last season, it was almost kind of like a not quite a carbon copy, but a very similar game. 0-0 at halftime. We went 4-0 in the second half, and the second half just dominated. It's a really, really good vibes win or a momentum win for the playoffs. So very pleasing.
Similar also to the Queen's Park game in the sense that we'll be facing Airdrie in the playoffs as we did Queen's Park last season. Heather, how important do you think it is that we've sort of got a one-up on Airdrie now going into the playoffs? And looking back to last season, how important was that Queen's Park 4-0 win in the lead-up to playing them in the playoffs?
I think, firstly, for the team, it's a real confidence boost. And if you look at the Airdrie results over the year, you know, we've drawn, we've lost, we've won, but they've all been extremely close. And that was the first time that we really managed to put, you know, a stamp on the fixture. And I just think that, I mean, we are a team that drives on confidence. And, you know, once we've had one or two clean sheets, it's been something that's grown. And I think that when we are playing that free-flowing football, when we get in the momentum of it and we get into the routine of it, it's really hard to stop. And I think that's really, really important. I think a lot of getting that one up on Airdrie is a lot of mind games. And they're going to go into, like, you know, the playoff game against us with that fear and knowing that no matter what the result is at Airdrie, what happened against us at Firhill. And I think that, you know, it's really great that we're building that confidence again, just as Rhys said, at the exact right time. I think also, I don't think you can discount how important the fan atmosphere is. And there is that real belief, which I'm scared to say, kind of growing again. But that feeling of enjoyment at the games, we spoke a lot earlier in the season about finding it hard to get excited because of what happened in the past. And I do think that there's that real, you know, togetherness between the fans and the squad. I think people like Luke Macbeth really help with that. You can just tell how much it means to them, you know, seeing someone like Aidan Fitzpatrick, who has been with us for so long, again, finding great form and playing well. It's a really, again, it's an exciting time to be a Thistle fan. And we're going into this with our best foot forward.
Yeah, I completely agree, Heather. I think it is worth noting that Airdrie had a lot of bodies missing on Saturday. I think McCabe he didn't play, obviously. Frizzell, Gallagher, Ballantyne, guys like that were out, who probably will come into the playoffs if to face as if they're fit. But I completely agree, just in terms of the confidence that it will give our players and the lift and atmosphere it gives the fans. Yeah, I think that it will play a part. We'll go to a listener question then. EP has asked, I think this is off the back of the third Thistle goal on Saturday, which I think is a real contender for goal of the season. He's asked, what's everybody's favourite goal that they've seen at Firhill? It doesn't necessarily have to be the best one, but what is everyone's favourite goal? Rhys, I'll start with you with this one.
Favourite goal? That's a right tough one. And I apologise for not reading the agenda, but I was at work at the time.
I'll come back to you. I'll go to Jamie and I'll come back to you. Jamie, do you have one?
Yeah, to be honest, I know it's obviously still very touchy, but it was the first leg, so I'm sticking with it. The Fitzpatrick goal against Ross County last season, just maybe a bit of recency bias to that as well. But when that went in, it was, you know, such a great feeling when that went in. It was a good goal as well, to be fair. It's not the best goal I've seen, but it was a really good goal anyway, because Fitzpatrick did so well, beating the two men, curling the finish in. But yeah, when that hit the back of the net, it was fantastic. I was in the land before it, behind the goal, and it was just... Yeah, that was brilliant. Some day, so that's probably my favourite. But best goal, like if the actual quality of the goal would be Jack Stoner's, obviously. But that's not like a special occasion or anything. That was just an outrageous goal from Stoner.
Heather.
So I admit that I went to the Holloway archives for this because I always feel that we do maybe as obviously the age we are and everything that we do touch on things that are recent, and I think it's important also to acknowledge, you know, like the times before or when we were younger. And I asked my brother and my dad for their favorite goal as well. So if it's okay, can I say mine and theirs?
Go for it.
Andrew and my dad both mentioned McKinstry's goal against Clyde as being absolutely sensational goal from so hopefully that will ring bells of some people. And also my brother mentioned Toasty Burns' lob against Killy from, I think it's almost the halfway line. And I mean, I'll say this because he's one of my favourite players for Thistle, but I think for the meaning of it and just how important it was, one of my favourite goals at Firhill has to be James Craigan against Morton.
I thought you were going to go Blair Olsen against Morton there for a minute, Heather, but not. James Craigan's a good shout. I think on the James Craigan one, obviously the occasion of that and the significance of it is why that goes to the top and sticks in people's minds. And I think the reason this goal I'm going to mention doesn't is because how the game ended. But Chris Doolan's diving header against Rangers in the top six season. See, if you watch that goal back purely in isolation, the football we play is absolutely superb. Doolan's diving header, the sound it makes, you could just play it and not watch it. It's beautiful. And obviously because Rangers had the Jackie Husband, there's like a sea of red and yellow behind the goal. I could watch that goal all day. That's a belter. It's just a shame how that game ended. Rhys, I hope we've inspired you to recall some other famous goals at Firhill.
Yeah, I was thinking, I think it was the 2011-ish time. You know, Chris, remember the Chris Erskine one against Falkirk when he picks up about the halfway line, Meg's two players, takes it on his left, and then just like with no lean back at all, just lobs the keeper's belly off his line, and he sticks it right over the keeper's head. That was an absolute belter of a goal, just so satisfying and so nostalgic, just brings back good memories. That was Chris Erskine in his pomp, but he scored numerous unreal goals for us. But in terms of like more recent ones, I was thinking about the playoff ones there, and bit of a rogue shout. Definitely wasn't the nicest goal or the most important goal, but I remember, I think it was the second on the night down at Somerset to make it, what would have been that, 5-0 at the time on aggregate, and Fitzy just breaks with the ball, picks up in his own half and just absolutely flies down the left-hand side, and obviously he's equally good on both feet, and he just leathers it across with his left and tiffs just at the back post and just bounces off him and goes into the net. And I was just thinking, that's just electric, you know what I mean? Like, those two are just too good for the championship at that point. And it was just at that point in time, I was just like, just utter dominance from those two players, just taking the game by the scruff of the neck and just showing their ability. It was just a satisfying goal, not necessarily a nice to watch or anything, but just satisfying the way we just went route one up the park, leather it across and bounces off you, and then just that's another honourable mention for me.
You want to come back in, Heather?
Well, I just wanted to remember, what was it, Kyle Turner's goal last year which got the moving the pass in the tempo, because that was very enjoyable, even just from the social media part of it. But yeah, I think, I you know what, I always feel like I remember goals more that are away from home, and I think sometimes we don't always remember like how good we've had it at Firhill. But one I think is important to mention, maybe just for the importance of it also, like, I love the fact that Chris Doolan scored his 100th goal at Firhill, and it was such an important goal at the time as well. Like, it wasn't a consolation, you know, we went on and won against Ross County that day, and the fact it was against Scott Fox, but also he took the goal so well, it wasn't a tap in, so I think that's an important one to mention too.
Absolutely, yep, some great shouts there. Before we move on, I had one last note on the match, which I forgot to mention. Ben Stanway shooting from outside the box again, forcing a save from the goalkeeper, and the rebound getting tapped in for the second home game in a row. Keep shooting. We do not see enough long shots in football anymore. The game has gone woke. It's gone soft. We don't see enough. One of these will fly in, and if not, we'll keep tapping in the rebound. So keep shooting, Ben. We'll move on to preview the home game against Ayr this weekend. Now, we sort of mentioned on last week's pod that the prospect of securing playoffs early might see a bit of rotation. I think I said that I can't see any more than two or three changes. I think it's important to keep the sort of continuity and momentum so that we do go into the playoffs 8 unbeaten. I think that's a good aim. But guys like Dan O'Reilly, Stuart Bannigan, I think it's important to get minutes in their legs, maybe give some of the more experienced guys like Muirhead, Graham, even important guys like Fitzpatrick, a rest so they're fit and firing for the playoffs. Jamie, how do you see the team lining up on Saturday?
I think it'll be pretty similar to the lineup we saw on the Saturday just gone. When Doolan was asked in the Jags on post-match interview, will he be like making a lot of rotations? He kind of hummed and hawed over a little bit, but did like not kind of indicate to not really. So I don't think we'll be seeing wholesale changes in the squad. I think we might. O'Reilly might get a start because it'd be kind of good for him to get some minutes in his legs. He's obviously been out injured for months, so it'd be good to for him to get some minutes. Apart from that, there might be like one or two other changes. I know McMillan went off early, so I don't know if Doolan would maybe start in Gwenya and get McMillan the match off or something similar to that. I really don't know, but I don't think we're going to see a huge number of changes, but maybe one or two.
Chris, do you agree with that?
You want to keep the continuity, like you said. You don't want to start chopping and changing, especially off the back at 4-0. If things were different and we drew at the weekend, then and it was still enough to get us in the playoffs, then I think it would probably be a good chance to experiment, you know. And it's quite ironic that, you know, Dan O'Reilly never really got a chance for us, and we were all kind of wanting him to start. And then he obviously picked up the injury, and that's when we really did need him, because we were on that game without a win, and we were all begging for Dan O'Reilly in the team. But by the time he's come back, we've kind of sorted out our defence again. So it's going to be a bit of a waiting game again for him. But like we said, we all know it's a great option to have, you know, that flexibility to be able to change to a back three. And his time will come, and he'll be a good player for us. And it's only a positive going into these games, like I've mentioned already, having that strength and depth and the options to change. Yeah, I can't see too many other. I really don't think there'll be any change at all. Dylan's already kind of mentioned it in his post-match interview. He doesn't want to go chopping and changing too much. And yeah, I think McMillan's next games is 100 for us as well. So I don't think they'll be resting him. I think he'll be choking to get that. So I'm looking forward to just keeping the same team and the same momentum going and build up a wee bit of a head of steam ahead of the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I certainly don't think the sort of central defence needs to change. I think when we're on such a good defensive run at the moment, I don't think you want to tinker with that too much, which is a shame for O'Reilly, as you say, Reece. I think it'd be good for him to get another sort of 20 minutes, half an hour. I think where we might see a change, I think Ben Stanway tweaked his knee. I think Doolan said it wasn't a serious one. It's a matter of days rather than weeks. But he might set out a chance for Bannigan to get his first 90 minutes in a wee while. And I think maybe the one other change, so I think Bannigan might come in as the first change. The only other change I can see is maybe flinging Xander McKenzie back in. I think the right-hand side of, or sort of three behind Graham, or the right-hand side of the attack, is maybe the problem area of the team now Lawless is injured. McEnroy obviously had that sensational assist, but obviously playing wide right isn't the natural position for him. So I think maybe Doolan might try something different out there as well. Maybe at the expense of Scott Robinson, because we know he's had fitness issues. But yeah, I can't see more than two changes at the weekend, and I think that's quite right. Keep the momentum going on this vibes train. Heather, do you want to kick us off with a score prediction and a general feel for the match? What sort of game are you expecting on Saturday?
Can't believe no one suggested that Blair Alston's going to get a start.
Feel free. The floor's open.
Well, I mean, he is going to score a hat-trick on Saturday, so, you know, maybe for the other team. Anyway, I think overall for me, I think obviously we are quite lucky when we play Ayr with the fact that they can't play Anton Dowds. And I guess in some ways, it's kind of gutting that he can't join in with the playoffs, but that's the way it is. And obviously, the games against him have been quite entertaining and end-to-end this year. And yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if Jules does make a change or two, but I still feel quite confident going in with a win. I'm going to go 3-0 Thistle.
Yeah, Ayr basically need Inverness and Queen's Park to win both of their games and to lose both of their own games to get dragged into ninth. So they're all but safe, but they need a point to confirm it, basically.
Isn't that crazy for them, you know, in the sense of they came, and obviously we've talked about the fact that them coming second last year was quite, you know, they were fifth, they were third, and then they somehow ended second. But isn't that just quite a little bit scary to see that you can go from second to being, you know, near the bottom of the table just so quickly in this championship?
Certainly is. I would put a lot of that down to Akinyemi. I suppose he had a bit of a freak season last year, but yes, it certainly is. I'll back you, Heather. I'll go 3-0 as well. I think we're playing well. The defence is solid, and that 4-0 win is, I think, is going to inspire the team and the fans for another good day on Saturday. So I'll go 3-0 as well. Jamie, I'll come to you next.
I'm going to say 1-0 first of all. I think it's going to be a bit of a tighter game, but I think we'll win.
Reece?
I was wanting to go with a 3-0 as well, but I don't want to, you know, jump on that one as well. I need my own scoreline here. I'm going to say 4-0, back-to-back, 4-0. You know, no Anton Downs for them. Nick McAllister got sent off at the weekend, so they're a wee bit late. So I'm backing another 4-0 win for Thistle.
Blimey.
Hello, David here with his prediction. I think the vibes train is in motion. We're stopping off at Ayr, Dundee United, Airdrie, Raith Rovers, and whatever Huddy Premiership team is in the 11th. We're going up. We're going to race through the playoffs like a runaway freight train. And this is just a start. The wheels are in motion. 4-0 Thistle.
Full house of wins and clean sheets. Nothing can possibly go wrong there. Before we finish with Partridge Thistle, we'll have a quick chat about the third draw loser draw Jags for Good quiz last night. We're still waiting on the official amount raised to be confirmed for the Partick Thistle Charitable Trust. I imagine it will be confirmed by the time you're listening. We believe it's close to £1,000, which is an amazing effort from everybody who came along last night. If you did come along, thank you very much. We hope you enjoyed it. Jamie, your team came runners up. Where did you lose those points? What were the frustrating 2 points that you lost?
There was no round in particular that we did like really badly in. It was just like random points throughout the night. I remember us fumbling the who was Prime Minister in the Titanic sank. We discussed that one for ages and picked the wrong one. I think whatever that round was, I'm forgetting what that round was called, that one, and I also had the question about like the BAFTAs in it and stuff. That's the round we dropped the most points in. So if we're going to point to any round for losing it for us, it's probably that one. But fair play to David. I was saying earlier, he in one of the rounds, he absolutely carried the team. It was the round about the Churchill, Sir Alex Ferguson and Alan Partridge quotes. He knew those pretty well. I think I only contributed to one, which was the Sir Alex Ferguson one about the German thing, which is the only one I knew. The rest of them I was like clueless. So
Heather, famously you wrote all your answers in pink pen last night. I hope you had a good evening with your team.
Yeah, I had a great evening. I think our name was fantastic. Obviously I'm gutted that David's not here tonight to be able to discuss a little bit more about the Tortured Poets Department, but we were the Tortured Jags Department. That was Shannon's name, and I thought that was great, and it probably sums up probably a bit of our strategies and the way that we ended up with our team. You know, a few tortured looks at each other when some people's answers were not written down and then they were correct. But massive kudos to Heather Wilson. That music round, she absolutely slayed. So I was really hoping when there was like a round about a particular person, it wasn't going to be Bruce Forsyth, but it was a very Matt Greer quiz, and it was very enjoyable, and a really good night all round.
Thank you very much. It is worth mentioning about David, who's not on the pod tonight, that you wouldn't believe it if you listen to the draw, lose or draw quizzes, because his Partick Thistle knowledge is atrocious, but he is a very, very good quizzer. So I'd put your offers in now for David for the next quiz for him to join your team. Rhys, I believe you want to have a little go at some of your teammates.
Well, just my dad, to be honest. He was giving it all week that he was great at pub quizzes back in his heyday and all that. So we literally had to divide the two teams to fit him in. And then on the way there, he's telling us that my dad hates football, basically. So in terms of he hates every sport. But so he's like, our music round, that's my thing. So it came to the music round, and then he was blaming the audio and Cooper's, he couldn't hear it. And so he fumbled that round. But we ended up coming mid-table, which is disappointing, because I think my team came third or fourth in the last one. But I think the standard in this one was tougher. But as always, great fun and a good night.
Glad you enjoyed it. We mentioned a week or two ago that the sort of target of winning scores is 70%, and the winning score ended up being 62 out of 90. So we almost nailed that. Congratulations, though, must go to David Stevenson and his team, Mahid's Buzzled, who completed the three-peat, a historic pub quiz achievement, and they walked away with the Charles Ingram mug, amongst other prizes. So congratulations to them. Worth pointing out as well, there was one question. This is the first time this has happened in three quizzes. One question that no team answered correctly. And it was the TV show Pointless was originally going to be called What Other Name? Now, I'm not going to tell you the answer, but if you know the answer and you didn't come along last night, come along, because you could clear up, you could end the Mahid's Buzzle dominance at the fourth instalment of the Jags for Good Draw, Lose or Draw quiz nights. So keep your eyes out. I'm sure there'll be another one in the not so distant future. And once again, thank you to Coopers. Thanks to Neil and everybody at Jags for Good for helping set up. Thanks to Heather Wilson, Heather, your teammate, for helping with the raffle. And thanks for coming along and donating your money. We will finish, as we always do, with Partridge Thistle. Last week, I attended my first antenatal appointment, and it was horrifying, to be honest. So I'm going to ask you all, when have you been spooked? Jamie, I'll start with you.
I do not have a good answer for this one. Come back to me. Stop starting with me, please. Please, Mac.
Listeners will be delighted to hear David will be back next week to save this segment. Rhys, have you ever been spooked? Jamie, hang on a minute, right? How old are you? 21, 22, and you've never been spooked?
No, I'm just trying to think of a good answer. I can't just be like, oh yeah, I once got given a fright and it was scary. But I need to give a good answer, but I can't think of one.
Rhys?
I've not got one either. Honestly, I've not got one.
Right, Heather, are you going to help us out here?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to try and keep it quite short, so because I know I go on a bit. 2 summers ago, I went to Paris and I drank wine near the Eiffel Tower, and my friend Ashlyn took a photo of me. And that picture ended up like, you know, like a kind of printout photo. I went back to work. So that was like in June, that trip to France. And I went back to work, and a photo of me drinking wine in Paris was like lying on my desk. No explanation, no nothing. And it wasn't even like, you know, classic as a girl. We took like 50 photos, and that one wasn't even like a good one. So I was like, why has this photo been taken, and who's sent this, and who's like printed it off? Like, that's really weird. And I was like, I didn't send that photo to anyone. So I like went around like my close dollar friends to be like who was this, and everyone's like, yeah, not me, like what are you talking about? And yeah, so I had this like photo just like sitting there, and I had no clue about it. Turns out, like, see, like 3 months later I found out my colleague Ashlyn had sent the photo to like someone else in our like department to be like, look at us, we're drinking wine in France. And they had accidentally, you know, when you go to like Asda to get like your photos printed after a holiday and you use your phone to select the photos, she accidentally selected the photo of me and just left it on my desk to be like, oh, Heather might like this, and never thought to explain it. So like for ages I just thought like someone had like hacked into my iCloud and was like, I can see what's on your phone. So I was extremely spooked, and yeah, just thought it was a strange time. So there we go.
I'm glad you found out the sort of route behind that, because that was going down a sinister route for a minute. It's like your colleague who did that really needs to like leave some notes or like send emails just to back some of their actions up. That's that would spook me out. And Rhys, you put your hand up. Are you gonna chip in here?
Yeah, Heather's story kind of sprung something to my memory. I remember this is a couple of years ago now. So I was just on TikTok one day, just scrolling through my phone as you do, sitting in my bedroom, lying on my bed, just going through my phone. And then I come across this ad, and it's a video in my bedroom, right? No explanation at all, right? Just there's a video of my bedroom being recorded in my bedroom. I bear in mind, this isn't my video. I haven't taken this video. It's just a random ad on a website in my bedroom. So I'm thinking, what the fuck, right? So like, I'm thinking, like, you know how when your phone, you're like, oh, your phone's listening to you because you thought about having a Subway, and then you get a Subway ad. Then I'm getting an ad of a video in my bedroom, but it turns out that obviously my wee brother does like e-commerce, so he was selling a product and it was his ad, but he videoed it in my bedroom without telling me, without asking me or anything, and I'm just scrolling on my phone. So that couple of minutes I was rather spooked, you could say, but obviously I had to go and ask him, but it turns out it was his ad that he was running, and it came up my thing without any context at all. But it was a confusing few moments.
That again, very spooky. Jamie, you got anything to throw in here? I'll throw you under the bus again.
I've remembered something from last year, but it's not a fantastic answer. But it was a thing last year. I don't know why this was happening, but one of my friend's phone numbers, sometimes if you called them, it went through to him. Sometimes it went through to someone else or actually a bunch of other people, which made no sense. I still don't know why I did that. But I called him, and apparently someone else was on the line while I was talking to him from like a different number, which again, I don't understand. And then his number like called me back about 5 to 10 times, and it was some English guy, and he was like, I'm gonna find you, I'm gonna kill you. And I was like, I don't know who you are. And then he was bombarding my phone, so I blocked the number. Then he phoned me off some other number as well, and I had to block that as well. And I was like, this guy is really bothered by this accidentally happening. But I don't know why he was so raging, because I remember I was literally just talking, calling my friend to say he'd left his keys at Five Aside, and I don't know what that guy was so angry about. But then he proceeded to call me for the next like 2 days. So that was a bit, it kind of freaked me out a little bit, even though this guy sounded like he was from London. I don't think he was a Glasgow local. He was, yeah, I seemed a bit mental from that phone call.
Jamie, it was well worth it coming back to you for a long-awaited impression this time of Phil Mitchell. So thank you for that. The story was worth it for that alone. And I'm sure you can clip that up for the out-of-context thread. Rhys, you've got your hand up again. You've been inspired again.
Exactly. Jamie's inspired me to give another one here. I've got a double dunner. I was acting like I didn't have any. I'm trying to be humble. But another one where I was spooked again, similar to Jamie's story this time. I was lying in bed, quite the hang, as you do, usual night. Middle of the night, sleeping, 3 a.m, get a phone call from an unknown number. So I'm like, hold on, we'll answer this, right? Could be anyone in the world here. And no context at all, I'm at the lights. This person just going, I'm at the lights. I was like, eh? I'm at the lights. I can see you. I'm at the lights. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And I'm like, nah, you've got the wrong number, mate. And he goes, no, it's me. I'm at the lights. I can see you across the road. I think, what the fuck is this? And then I just hang up the phone. And then I remember, I can't have, see like Uber Eats, I'm not able to have an Uber Eats account for some unknown reason. Nobody knew why I wasn't allowed one. It said that I already had an Uber Eats account when I'd never ordered an Uber Eats in my life. But it turns out me and my pal Callum shared a taxi about 4 years prior to this. And it was set up in my email or something, but he had been using them and he was in London or something, getting a taxi home at like 3 a.m, and the guy's phoning me, waking me up. And I just text him, I was like, are you in a taxi? And he's like, yeah, why are you asking me? And I was like, get to fucking delete my username and my email and all that from your Uber Eats account, waking me up in the middle of the night. But aye, that was spooky, a guy telling you he's watching you at the lights at 3 a.m. when you've just been waiting for your slumber.
If anybody from Uber Eats is listening, please do Rhys a solid and get him an account set up. Thank you for listening to this week's Draw, Lose or Draw. I know David's got a special episode which might be out by the time you listen. It might not. So that'll be around if you want to listen to any more of this podcast. If not, we will be back next week to have a look back at the Ayr game preview, our regular season finale at Tannadice, and we'll have some more parties for this as well. In the meantime, stay safe.